Welcome to the Sunday Conversation, where we sit down with former professional football player Trey Teller, where he gives us his insights on how sports and athletics shaped his life and helped him build a successful business. Sit back and enjoy. Trey, appreciate you being here. So, start it off. What's your definition of performance?
Oh, I have to say my definition of performance is striving for greatness. You got to perform like at your highest peak in every brim of life.
So that's past just sports?
Oh, it's past sports. Sports was just a tool that I was blessed to use to set up my life. Having a background in athletics from basketball to football to running track to wrestling, it taught me things that the average person who doesn't play sports really has a trouble, how do I put this, has trouble understanding a lot of things.
See, I agree with you. I mean, it's, okay, you and I, we've had several conversations about sports.
Yeah.
And so people probably don't know, but what is your background in sports exactly? Just real quick.
My background in athletics, I was a four-time varsity letterman. Went to college, started three out of the four years I was there. I left and went undrafted. Had a, you know, practice run with a few teams in the National Football League and played arena. Then I got hurt and then had to deal with you.
Yeah. But
I shook back and went to the CFL for 2 weeks. and then I went to YCF. And now I'm coaching and teaching young men and women how to be great and strive for greatness. Teaching them how to perform in another aspect of life.
And see, and you learn that from?
Athletics.
Yeah. And see, most people don't, and that's the thing is, you're paid to play a sport.
Yes.
So right then and there, you have a different experience than someone that just played high school and college. And you and I've joked all the time about how people look at you differently, they treat you differently. First of all, they all think you're rolling in money.
Yes.
And it's not true. Because you and I both did the same thing, is we took our money and we put it to something else. We could have bought the cars, we could have bought the houses, but we're like, nah, you know what? We don't know how long we're going to be playing this game. And so many people we've seen, friends of ours, have made millions of dollars and now are broke. Because they played for 5 or 6 years, they made a ton of money, but then what did they do with it? They just pissed it down the drain. So they didn't learn from that. And you and I are on that different side where we took our money and we did better with it. We took the opportunities and we made better with it. And what one thing can you say to a non-athlete to relate to you when you're trying to explain something to them? I know it's a tough little question because I would love the answer because I have that problem every day.
Believe in yourself and not the ideologies that you were taught to believe in.
See, I can get that. But how does someone that's never... Again, as an athlete, you walk on that field. You're believing everything that your other coach told you. Then a new coach breaks you down from top to bottom, physically and mentally. And then they reteach you their ideology to perform for the team and perform their way to be a victor. How can you tell someone that, but has never experienced what you and I have experienced, how can you get them to follow your lead without breaking them down physically? Because you and I both know most people can't do that. There's a reason why professional athletes are so small. One, it's a gift from God. Two, it's how many times have we been thrown in the mud and woken up at 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, and busted ourselves and worked and other people. We've sacrificed so much. Not people many people can do that. So how can we relate to those people that, especially like an employee, that has not experienced what we experienced?
Created from owning a business, you just said that, you said those, for better words, you set out a game plan.
Okay.
that's common between the two. You find the common factor, and you guys strive to get to the common goal. You're not going to think the same way I'm going to think.
No.
But we have one goal. You know, so it, just because 1 + 1 = 2, well, he might say 1 + 1 = 2. Nah, that's false. But there's other ways to get there.
There's other ways around it.
There's other ways, yes. So if what the employee or the other counterpart is saying, if it makes sense to get to that goal for them, you got to leave it alone. Because us as athletes, we only know one way. And that's bust your tail till you finish. Where other people, they want to jump through all these hoops and all this other stuff. No, I only know one thing, and that's common sense. A lot of people who are non-athletic don't understand that.
Well, right, because, I mean, I will say that, you know, as an athlete, we didn't have our own opinions. We didn't really have our own options. It was, do it this way. If you don't do it this way, I'll find someone else who does.
I'll replace you.
But if you can find a better way to strike a guy out or a better way to sack a quarterback, I'll listen. But you still better do it in the same parameters that I'm giving you.
I'll listen. I'll listen. If you got another way better than mine, I'm going to listen. But if you fail at your way, your ass is on that bench.
Yeah, and someone else is coming in.
So we can gamble this if you want to. But if your way works, then I'll respect it and I'll go your way.
But if it starts to fail.
If it starts to fail, you're going to listen.
Right.
You're going
to listen. Yeah, you get one shake off.
Oh, yeah.
And you get one time to call an audible. Yeah. Then it's like, no. They pay me to make these calls. You do what I tell you to do and get it done. And see, as an athlete, we're just like, you're right, coach. Mm-hmm. You know, how many times have a coach said something to us and we're like, guy doesn't know what he's talking about. He's stupid. But, you know, how are we going to argue with that?
You can't.
Because we make a mistake. How can we say, well, coach, I didn't like your way, but I'm going to go my way and I'm going to make a mistake. Coach is like, no, next. Next guy comes in. And as an employer, I see this all the time. I say, well, we're going to do it this way. Well, I don't agree with your way. But I don't care. But now we can't just sit him on the bench because the way society is, we're not allowed. And I wish sports was more like everything else.
This is what I don't understand. And this might dive off into another...
Let it dive.
Another we both conversation. But it's funny how the world is built on athletics.
Mm-hmm.
Because without college football, the world does not go around.
No, people are freaking out right now.
Oh, it's going to happen.
It has to happen. No, there's too much money.
It's going to happen because there's way too much money. Forget millions. You're talking about trillions of dollars in college football alone.
All right. With the sports betting now. And how many games a week are there? Like 30-some games a week?
Oh, yeah. You have that, but without the sports, without football, I'm not even going to say athletic. Without football, you don't have college baseball. No. You don't have enough money for the basketball team to be able to travel. There is no swim team, track team, hockey, whatever. There's no Rotary Club, which people care about a lot.
Yeah, there's no golf team.
You don't have the media. So, you don't talk about politics. You don't have people like that.
No. Right. Well, because you think about it. I mean, well, all female sports, they're gone too.
Because,
again, there's an article published a few months ago about, I think it was USC. I think it was USC. No, sorry, it's LSU because they were talking about them. Like, the football team profited more money than all the other teams put together. And only three teams in the entire organization made money. It was, I think, basketball, baseball, and football. And football basically carried everything. So, again, you're right. You lose football. You don't have an athletic program, probably don't have a school. Yeah, probably don't have a school because
Urbana just shut down.
Right, because the kids weren't coming to school anymore, and they didn't have much anything else. I mean, it's amazing. So, kids don't go back to school. They don't have football. There's no more university.
So there will be football.
And what else do people need? What's the first thing? Okay, and this is like if someone has something to give somebody, like hey Trey, I have two tickets to the ballet. You're like, okay. I have two tickets for dinner. Okay. I have two tickets to the game. All right, I'm taking it. Even if you're not a fan of you're going to go for the experience. I mean, how many people go to football and they have no idea how to play the game? Or even look at, like, they have no idea. They go for the fun.
Exactly.
Like
tailgating.
How many people play hockey? Like, wouldn't Columbus be a hockey town? No one here plays hockey. Like, you can't even pronounce the majority of the guys that play for the Jackets.
And what's crazy is the Buckeyes held fun Nationwide Arena.
Yeah. And see, people love the Buckeyes because we can relate. It's our, we feel, even if we don't go to the school of Ohio State, that's our team.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. Sports keeps everything going because look at the Arena District. They have an entire area called the Arena District. You know, we have the Blue Jackets, we have the Clippers, and then soon we're going to have the Crew. And then a little further down the street, you know, you have Ohio State. But there's businesses built around just on those. They survive when there's games. When there's no games,
that won't work.
It's a ghost town. I mean, same thing happened in Cleveland when LeBron left. All those businesses followed him because they couldn't survive. I mean, it's amazing how important sports are, but it seems like a cliche now. You know, before we were looked upon as, you know, athletes and, you know, a gift and, you know, special. Now it's kind of like, it's almost like a cliche. You're an athlete? Oh, okay, you're one of those people. You know, you're not very smart, you're not very bright.
They swear that we get everything for free and we don't do anything.
We don't know what hard work really is.
But I guarantee you, I can do what you do, but you damn sure can't do what I do.
There you go. I mean, and people have said you've been lucky.
I hear that all the time.
Yeah. Why are you lucky? Please explain to me how I'm lucky.
Nobody understands how much they, I mean, with all due respect, you're freaking out about a paper. Well, freak out when your whole university is counting on you to get a sack at 4th and 3 in the Black College National Championship game. You think about that.
Yeah.
You think about missing the tackle
and the guys
and going back to campus.
And everybody knows.
And everybody knows.
Yeah.
Imagine that was just me. Imagine being the field goal kicker on these teams that missed the field goal. Whether it was blocked or anything. Nobody blames the long snapper for anything.
Mm-mm.
That's the highest, that's the most luckiest position in the world.
Oh,
he doesn't do anything. He gets to hit people, he can't get hit.
True. And he's got an easy job. I would say easy because I couldn't do it.
No, it's not easy. No. But it's simple.
But if I only had to do this one thing is throw a pitch right down the middle, I could do that all day long. but you're right. You know, and take it back on the college thing is, you know, I was a weekend guy. So I didn't party on the weekends because I had to perform. And what about all those people that, you know, they go to school Monday through Thursday or Monday through Friday and then they party on the weekends? Well, I went to school Monday through Friday. I couldn't party on the weekends. I traveled every other weekend. So I had to, you know, do most of my studies on the road. I couldn't go. I had to, you know, have all my classes done by 2. So it was from 8 to 2 almost every day because I had baseball. So I gave up a lot.
I'll touch you.
Just perform. And I had to keep a high GPA just to keep my scholarship.
I'll help you out with this. Everybody says we're lucky and we get away with so much. The biggest thing that the athletes, you know, suffer from is when we graduate college and when we get into, you know, the next level, whether it's professionals or whatever. Well, what happens when we get cut? Nobody's there.
Nope.
Nobody helps us. There's not a psychiatrist we get to go see.
Oh, that's all gone. Our insurance is gone. Everything.
When you're in the armed forces, you get to go. You at least got a psychiatrist you get to go see.
That's right. You got the VA.
You don't have anything.
They cut you loose.
You don't have anything.
Yep.
I mean, I can speak on myself, and you can speak. You can tell me whatever you want because you watched me go through depression.
Mm-hmm.
So when people say that, and then, you know, yes, I received grades from professors, which I didn't, you know, I looked at it then as, oh, you're helping me. Well, in reality, you're hurting me because long, you know, later on down the line, if I'm not, you know, going to be in a league for 10 to 12 plus years, when I get out, I'm not going to know how to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you're really setting me up for failure. And that's, you know, that's frowned upon because everybody only cares about me sacking a quarterback or carrying a football.
Mm-hmm.
In reality.
Oh, yeah. Because you're helping them more. They're not looking at you. They're looking how you can help them. And it's just a selfish thing, but that's... But again, we knew going into it.
I'm just, you know, and I tell people all the time, I'm blessed because of the circle that I'm in. Everybody's like, well, why do you always say you'd rather be... you're proud of being the brokest person in your circle? Because I know I can handle my own.
But you also want to surround yourself with people that you want to be like.
I got some, I had to chase somebody.
Yeah, you want to chase. it's scary at the top because there's always going to want to knock you down. But you always, yeah, you want to be around a group of people that you want to emulate. You know, that's how it is.
I was telling myself, I said, in the beginning of the year, you know, we set goals.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said, well, I just want to put $100,000 in the bank outside of playing football. I've tripled that already. And we're in July.
Yeah. Job.
But before I tripled that, I was having lunch with a mutual friend of ours, and he says, why can't you say put $1 million in the bank? That's a problem. Because you tell people all the time that there's no such thing as the sky's the limit because there's footprints on the moon, but yet you just limit yourself. So therefore, nice to know that you don't believe in yourself. I don't know about you, but that struck me.
But you're right. Because, you know, people always say, I want, you know, they always have their steps, which is great. But why limit to yourself? Okay, when you're growing up and you said you want to play professional football, how many people said, eh? And how many people said?
I had a teacher by the name of...
I think everyone's had that one teacher.
I had a teacher by Mary, her name was Mary Kay. I was in the third grade. It was a Tuesday afternoon. I remember like it was yesterday. Right after lunch, it was raining. Everybody, we were doing recess inside, and we were doing this game, and it was write what you want to be and act it out. Everybody's writing all the, I want to be a doctor, a lawyer, and they're doing their speeches. Well, since my name is Tiller and I had to go last, I said, I want to be a football player. She's told me I needed to find something that was more realistic.
You know what? It's
sucked. It really sucked because when I did sign that contract, I drove back to my elementary school and found out that she had passed away. I found out where her graveyard was at, where she was, like, where her grave is at, and I went and told her. I hope you're proud of me.
So do you think she did it as a motivational thing, or think she did it because she was just dense?
I know this. She was really the mean teacher in the school. She was the mean teacher in the school, which you know, most of us need that.
Yeah.
But I also had a teacher tell me that I wasn't going to graduate. Not only did I graduate from high school, not only do I have one degree, I got two of them working on third.
So, yeah.
And I just got my first 4.0 2 days ago.
Congratulations.
That I earned, that I didn't pay for, that nobody did the work for.
Yeah, you did it yourself.
I earned it.
And you know, it's amazing when you said about the teacher saying you couldn't do it, because I think every athlete has that teacher. You know, mine was Miss Higgins. Same kind of thing. Look at that.
Yeah.
Good for you.
4.0
at a high university, no joke. But that's amazing. You know, you had the teacher, I had the teacher, and it's the same thing. I'll never forget it, you know.
You know, it's funny because everybody talks about me and having this 4.0. 3 weeks ago, well, 5 weeks ago, when it all started, I had a meltdown. A flat-out meltdown. Because it says, in the syllabus, it told me I had to write a 5-page paper.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had to write a 12-page paper. I can admit this as a man. I've never written a paper. Due to me playing football and me being that guy.
Right.
Those rights were just waved away.
Mm-hmm.
So, I called an old friend of mine and I said, hey, do you mind, I'll pay you $10,000 to do my work for me. She says, what is your why? She said, don't answer me right now. Call me in the morning, and I'll give you my answer. Now, she wrote some of my papers in the eighth grade. Now she's extremely successful and she's, you know, doing what she has to do. So I called her back and I said, my why is to stop teachers from bullying students like myself and help students succeed like myself, because I made it. And I also want to help students, you know, let them see, like, you can do it because I did it. She said, well, you're not gonna like this answer. I can't do that because I can't have you be a phony and a hypocrite. You can't tell a student that he needs to do work if you don't want to do it. So I said, okay. She said, but I'll do you one better. I will advise you through the whole time you're in grad school. Now, these last five and a half weeks have been hell. But the first two were, you know, I had to figure out a way to make it make sense. And the only way to make it make sense was to pull out my game plan from when I was playing and match it with schoolwork. Although I couldn't put, you know, watch film, I had to break it down in steps to make it make sense to me for game plans. Without that, my hat goes off to any student that does any type of work like that, because it's not, especially being an athlete who was giving things to. So when she broke it down like that, and she was like, every paper was in question form, I'm telling her, like, I don't know what kind of learning this is, but this needs to be, you need to pay for this.
Yeah.
And she was like, this is just how you write a paper. I said, this is how you write a paper?
Answer questions.
She said, yeah, that's how you write a paper, and you just put them together.
Mm-hmm.
I said, is it that easy? She said, yeah, but you have never done it, so you don't know. So that, you know, that kind of hit. What hurts the most is that if I felt that way, and I made it through all the other stuff, I can only imagine what's still going on today with athletes.
Oh.
It doesn't matter if you're white, black, Hispanic, purple, green, blue. It doesn't matter. If you're good at something, a coach isn't going to fix it. And he's going to clean up your mess behind you, and you won't even know it. It's sweet that it happens at the time.
But where does it lead you?
In the long run, As a 29-year-old man, I sat in my bed because it said write a 4-page paper. That 4-page paper ended up being 12 pages by itself because I knew the knowledge.
Yeah.
And this the course is called Cultural Diversity. Due to the fact that I've lived on both ends of this spectrum,
mm-hmm.
from being from, you know, Columbus, Ohio, and then going all the way down to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and going to San Diego and all stuff like that, I've seen so much to where the professor had to go in and change some things because everything was an experience for me. So, I mean, yeah, reading that book and reading this passage, yeah, it makes sense. Well, let me tell you how it is in real life.
Right.
So she, you know, it triggered her on some things, and it triggered her to the point where she was docking me for writing too long. She said write a 6-page paper, it'd be 15, because I had so much energy and so much. So she, instead of docking me, she goes back and changes those points that she's taken away from me to say, hey, I didn't know that all happened.
So you floodgates opened up and everything went out. And see, think about, let's go back to your life performances. You're able to just flow out on paper because of sports.
Yeah.
Sports push you there. And again, I agree with you that I think a lot of athletes are disserviced because, especially their academics, because who was with you when you were done playing football?
You.
Okay, yeah. Me. So your circle...
I mean, between my rehab team, we did an amazing job.
But you think about it, when you're playing the game, you have people you don't even know about, family members you don't even know about, that are calling you, texting you. Everyone is your friend. Everyone is your buddy. And everybody wants to be with you.
Random texts, I love you, I miss you, how are you?
Yeah. When you're in town, let me know, I'll buy you a drink. Everyone wants you to buy you a drink. I'm thinking, okay, you all think I'm rich, but why are you buying me a drink? And it's crazy. But the day you get cut, or the day you get hurt, the day you're no longer playing, the day you sign those release forms, and they give you your last check, who do you have?
You and that piece of paper.
That's it. and it's amazing. And then you're left. Then you base. And then society says, and everyone else says, I told him so. He wasn't going to make it. And now everyone's your enemy. And then you got to figure out a way to pull your bootstraps up and do something with your life. And everyone again is saying you can't do it. Then you start your business. And now what are they saying about your business?
Oh, that's not a good idea. Like, why are you going to do that?
Or you're lucky.
Yeah.
So the same things when someone says, I want to play professional sports. That's not a good idea. Don't do that. Then when you make it, you're lucky. So you want to start a business? Say you're making widgets. That's not a good idea. Come on, Trey. You can do better than that. Then you start making money from it.
I really want to hear the conversations. I wish I could hear the conversations on the people who have profited from investing in toilet paper. And hand sanitizer.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure people were like, you're stupid.
Well, yeah. Why would you do that?
Come on. Alcohol with a little gel, you're stupid.
But now look at it. I mean, it's a business that's been instrumental for the years. But again, I was the same thing. I played baseball. I made a decent living. I made some money. And then what happens? You're lucky. You're lucky, you're lucky, you're lucky. First of all, when I said I wanted to play, not going to do it. The only people that really believed me were my folks and my coaches. And then when I made it, all of a sudden everyone believed me. Then when I'm done, no one cared. Then I said, I want to open my own business. What do you want to open? I want to open a performance facility, a gym. The gym. Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Gyms are, there's no money in that. Then I build it, and it's like, nah, you're lucky. How am I lucky? Please explain to me. I would love to know where I'm lucky in life.
I just tell people, there's a difference between luck and being blessed.
Yeah. Well, when people say, well, you left-handed? Yeah, well, that's why. That's why you made it, because you're left-handed. How the hell does that change anything?
Just like everybody says, I had one person, you know, he told me, he says, why do you always say you're blessed? I said, why shouldn't I say I'm blessed? I said, my coach, he always made us competitive on everything we did. So if you walk in the morning and he walked in and he says, good morning, you know, how are you? You say, I'm good. Well, I'm great. He's always going to one-up you. The only thing that can't be one-upped is being blessed.
Yeah.
And if you say you're blessed and you continue to tell people you're blessed and you start believing that you're blessed, you start moving that way as well.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say you're blessed and you tell somebody else they're blessed, they'd be like, it usually catches them off guard when people says it, because they're like, oh, I'm blessed too. Yeah, I know you are. You didn't believe that. I did.
We're here. You're awake today. You got to be somewhat blessed. I understand people have tough times, but, you know, the fact that you're alive, it's better than some.
I just, you know, if it, you know, it's extremely funny that how everybody ties religion and all this other stuff, you know. Well, I don't believe in this, and I'm this. Well, there's several different ways in New York.
Mm-hmm.
There's several different ways in New York. We only have one president as well. Several different ways to get to him. So who didn't say there were several different ways to get to heaven?
That's a good point.
God said there's only one God.
Doesn't mean...
Known for many names.
True. And there's always multiple ways to get there.
People don't pay attention to that.
Yeah. To get home, you don't just go one way. Mm. It's a good point.
I learned that from Muhammad Ali.
And he was a good one to learn from, too. And see, you know, look at his experiences. You know, and he put that into in sports. So if someone's want to talk to you and say, how can you take someone that's lost or doesn't understand sports or doesn't understand business, in a short 5 minutes, how can you convince them that they are capable, that performance is not just based upon, you know, what's in the bank account, what their 40-yard dash is, how fast they throw a fastball?
I tell people performance is basically off of your drive.
That's a good one.
You're only going to perform as well as you want to. And your want to has to be something that you love. If you wake up every morning for your job and you hit snooze, you don't love that job. If you wake up in the morning and you're like, ah, got another one, you kind of like that job. But if you wake up 10 minutes earlier than that alarm clock goes off, you love that job.
I think I love my job then.
I don't even have an alarm. If you look at my, I don't have anything on my alarm. I wake up every morning.
You love that job.
I'm ready to go.
You have to love what you do. Performance is only great is it when you love what you do.
So what do you tell someone that doesn't love what they do?
Find something you love what you do, because are you working to live or are you living to work?
That's a good point. I mean, I agree, because so many people say, I don't like my job, I don't like my job.
That's on you.
There you go. And so many people are like, well, I can't get another job.
Well, why can't you?
What's holding you back? And I think a lot of times, how much risk did you take by going the route of an athlete? How much sacrifice did you do?
First of all, I didn't have a job until I got there.
Maybe that's the reason why some people are so many afraid. They're afraid of taking that risk. I remember when I got done playing baseball, I was 27 years old. I'm thinking, all my friends, they have wives, they have careers. I'm 27. I'm literally starting over.
Yeah. I'm saying that right now.
Yeah.
I'm saying that right now.
It's like, I'm literally starting over. I'm
right now.
And it feels weird because, like, everything you know is gone. Everybody you know is succeeding. And you're thinking, what do I got to show for it?
I just look at it like this. You know, with the circle I have, I'm happy to be one of the younger people in my circle. I just ask all the older ones, what would you have done at my age?
What's the answer you're getting?
Oh, I get several different answers. Well, you need to invest in higher age. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to do this. Well, I've come to realize me following that game plan from all these coaches, I'm becoming extremely successful. And not even, you know, not to discredit my dad by any way, he's nothing but a cherry on top. Because he's got me here, but now, you know, a child is not always going to listen to their father. Mm-mm. Until somebody else says something that he said, then you're like, oh, well.
It's funny how that is.
Let's tie these together.
Yeah, it's funny how that is. It's like, no, Dad, you're wrong. But then three other people say the same thing your dad says. Like, okay, Dad, maybe something there.
My grandfather told me something a long time. He said, if one person calls you ass, son, you might not be ass. If three people call you an ass, son, you're a donkey.
Well, you need to verify. It's like you're not out on strike one.
Oh, yeah.
But you get two, you get three of those, go sit down. But, I mean, it's amazing how, I mean, I've known you for quite a while, and I've seen your journey, and it's been an incredible one, and I'm very proud of you. But it's amazing how, I remember conversations you and I have had where people were just doubting you at every corner, and it's, and you didn't believe me, but hopefully you believe me now. They doubted you not because they feel for you. They doubted you because they don't want you to succeed. They're jealous of who you are.
Oh, yeah.
And the main reason they're jealous, it's not because they don't have the capabilities of you. They're afraid of getting themselves out there in front.
It's funny you said afraid. So, like I said, I'm teaching now. And me becoming a teacher, I had a colleague leave for a surgery, and he's a social studies teacher. Me teaching, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I don't see it.
No, I'm just like, it doesn't make sense. Just like me coaching doesn't make sense, because I don't know how to do either one. All I know how to do is speak facts and teach life. I was blessed to teach Black History Month. Now, due to certain ideologies that we are, you know, that the school systems allow you to do, I had to word things differently so I didn't get in trouble. So I had to make sure, like, okay, well, let's ask questions instead of me telling you. If you ask me the question, I can give you the answer because it's a question. When he got back, since he didn't know some of the knowledge I was dropping, they became conspiracy theories, which I had facts. Then on top of that, he says, well, you can't do this and you can't do that. Then he targets a student of mine. So for everybody that's ever told a young person that teachers don't don't just go home and think about, oh, I'm gonna make this kid mad. That's a lie. That is a lie. I got a lot of ass whoopings over the years for teachers in there, and they're picking on me. But now that I'm in school, they create another monster because now I have the knowledge and the verbiage to compete. And my life is around competing. I always want to be the best. I mean, some people see that as a problem. Like, you can't always be the best. Just like they say, you can't save all kids. Out of the 27 kid roster we have, 24 of them prefer me as their preferred adult. So I don't believe in any of that.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing I believe in is what I write on that paper. If you tell me Joe Schmo is an asshole, well, okay, he's an asshole to you, not me.
Right. And see, I think that's the problem, is so many people jump to conclusions on what someone else says. And we see it everywhere. Again, how many times, that team sucks. Oh, they suck. Well, how do you know? What's the definition of sucking? And if, like you said, that person's a butthole, well, okay, they are to you, but not to me. So maybe you are the problem.
Listen, everybody's like, well, why do you always say you want to be on a sorry team? Because if I'm on a sorry team in the National Football League, that's a guaranteed spot that I'm going to get paid every day a week.
That's a good point. But you got to think about it. Take that even further. You're on the worst team on a professional team. So you're the worst team on the NFL, which was what? Last year, who was that? Bengals?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. They're still the best of the best.
Yes.
So
people don't pay attention to that.
So again, if we're talking about, I don't know, another business in the world, say the worst business that makes sunglasses, okay, but they're still on the same table. Does it matter?
They're still in Walmart.
They're still in Walmart. Is it the same thing? Again, it's like, you know, well,
still a sunglasses.
Oh, you played for the Bengals last year, man. They sucked. Okay, I'm still the best at what I do. Just because I'm on the worst team doesn't make me any worse of who I am. I'm still getting paid every day. The money, the bank still looks at it the same way. They're like, oh, you're from the Bengals. We're taking 20% of that. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's just, and here's how I came to it. And I think you and I both talked about this before. The reason they always have something negative to say about where we made it in life is because it wasn't them. It's easy to always say, well, I don't like that person because they have something I want. Like, I don't like that guy because he's dating a girl I like.
I give you one that, a day-to-day topic that doesn't make sense to me. Why are we comparing LeBron to Michael Jordan? Why does everybody hate Tom Brady?
Because he wins. And I think the reason why people compare to... The comparisons, always people do that. Generation. Everybody says, you know, this is our generation's best person, or this is our generation's goat.
He looked at that man and chased that man his whole career.
Mm-hmm.
Due to the fact that he didn't... He chased two men. He chased Kobe and he chased Michael Jordan. And he's, when it's all said and done, I hate to say it, but he will be the greatest of all time.
I grew up with Jordan, so he was always my guy.
Exactly. I grew up watching, Jordan was on his way out when I understood basketball.
And you're a Kobe guy.
Yeah, I'm a Shaq guy.
Or a Shaq guy, yeah. But it was that generation.
Shaq, the style of basketball now, Shaq couldn't even compete.
No. No. Because he'd get fouled. They'd foul.
He's
too tough. He's too tough. And that's the thing, is the sports have changed dramatically, so it's very hard to compare generation from generation to generation. It changed. Football is probably one of the few sports that hasn't dramatically changed.
It's changed, but it is changing. Oh, and they're watering down our sport.
Well, they're making the penalties and stuff like that. But I'm saying the aspect of it was, you know, basketball back in the day was
physical.
It's not as physical now.
Physical.
Baseball, it's more. It went from being a small ball to a long ball. Now it's going kind of back into the small ball era. And they mainly reach because of this. Well, this actually may go back because the stadiums are getting smaller. But football, it's kind of true. It's been the same. Now it's being more offensive based now. More people are passing, but it's not as a biggest change. I think basketball's changed the biggest.
Yeah.
Because, you know, before guys would, if you didn't have a bloody nose or a bruise, you didn't play hard enough. Now you get sneezed on. Foul. But again, I understand. But I also see both sides to it. The amount of money these guys are being invested into.
you know, say LeBron James goes down the middle of the lane, someone, you know, does a Dennis Rodman, sticks their knee out, and boom, LeBron's out for a week. You know, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. And their money's guaranteed.
And same thing with football. You know, you got to protect guys like Tom Brady and, you know, Mahomes, because those guys go down, that's a lot of money. So there's two sides to it now, because you and I didn't realize until we were done, we're nothing but cow.
Oh, yeah.
We're an investment to them. You know, people say invest in stocks and IRAs. That's all we were. We're a mutual fund. That's all we are.
Not a mutual fund.
That's all we are. You and I are just mutual funds. They invest in us. And then once that product is no longer viable, they cash us in. And that's all it is. And to me, that's the problem where I think there's a big disconnect when it comes from employer, employee, athlete to non-athlete. And I will say that I think not everyone's cut to be an athlete. Not everyone's cut to be a business owner. And I think business owners, military, and athletes are all cut from the same cloth. Because again, everybody can play a sport. Everybody can attempt to work at a job or own a business. Everyone has that possibility. And everyone has an attempt to become a military man. But only few lead that military. Only few get paid to play a sport. And only few can run a business. And I think that's the biggest difference. People don't realize that. Reach as far as you can. Be the best of who you are.
Strive for greatness.
But you also have to realize the harder you reach and the further you go, there's gonna be some landmines. There's gonna be some setbacks. I mean, I don't know anyone I've ever spoken to, athletics, military, or business, that have not had some difficulty in their life they had to get through. And the ones that got through it got better.
And that's what, you know, playing a sport teaches you. It teaches you how to deal with adversity.
Teaches you that losing is at the end of the world.
Yeah.
When you lose, it teaches you two things.
It sucks.
But it gives you the opportunity to work better.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's incredible. And then we've been at this for a while, so we're going to go wrap this up. So give me your sign-off. And so what's your takeaway? If someone wanted to give you a nice little, I guess, round, how am I going to put it out? Just tell me what you're saying to the world, to anybody. Somebody wants to come up and says, Trey, help me.
It's a process. And the process is hold yourself accountable and be consistent. Consistency is everything. The moment you stop being consistent, the moment you stop believing in yourself, that's the moment you fail. You can fail 7 times. As long as you get up for the 8th, you're winning.
That's good. I think more people need to hear that. All right, man. Appreciate it.
Always.
You'll be back again, because honestly, we've been at this for 4 or 5 minutes, and I think we could do this for another 6 hours.
Okay, we're good.
So we'll be back at it again.
We're good.
All right, sign off.